Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. His goodness is running after me. Amen. Amen. Thankful for the breath that he gives us. I want to use it to thank him, to praise him, to give him honor and glory. Amen. We could use that breath for a lot of things, but I want to use it for him. Amen. Amen. Thank you, musicians. God bless you. Happy 1st of July. Boy, that was fast. We'd like to continue on with a thought that we started looking at on Sunday. And we'll just read one verse of scripture here for a moment. Excuse me. Once again, we still have many families that are traveling here and there, so we want to keep them in prayer. And, Jennifer's been out for about a week now, or almost a week. We'll be out for a few more days, and I'll tell you what, I really realize what she does for me. Not that I didn't before, but now I really do. And I'm going down my list. Okay, go, got to do the cat pans, and okay, and there's how many cans of food on this side, and then you got to give them, oh, and we got them spoiled with this treat, and that's what they're crying about, and the fish, and I don't feed the snake. Fortunately, it can probably go a month or so. But, amen. You love the Lord?
Amen.
Matthew chapter 24, and we'll read from the 24th verse. Matthew 24, 24. For there shall arise false Christs. Now, another way of saying that would be false messiahs or false anointed ones. Right? So, and false prophets. Now, everybody doesn't claim to be a prophet, but there will be prophets that are false, but they'll have a genuine anointing. And there will be people that are genuinely anointed, and they are false. And shall show great signs and wonders. Sure, that's the power of the Spirit. Insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Aren't you glad it isn't possible?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. May the Lord add his blessing to reading the word. The revelation of the two spirits, part three. Let's bow our heads. Father, as we come together on this Wednesday evening, Lord, we ask that you forgive us, Lord, of our mistakes, our failures. And Lord, that you just wash us with the water of the word. Keep us covered in your blood, Lord. And Father, sanctify us with your word and draw us closer to you, Lord. May your word find its resting place. And may faith, Lord, put that word into action. And may the manifestation of your word take place in our lives, we pray. Father, be with all those that are still traveling and some that began travels, some that are going to end travels, others that will be on the road here soon. But Father, we're trusting in you. You know our comings and our goings, Lord. You know everything about us. And our trust is completely in you, Lord. Father, as we commit ourselves once again into your hands, it's with thanksgiving in our hearts, love and praise on our lips, Lord. It's with all the sincerity that we can muster up here tonight, Lord, and all the humility that we can cause ourselves to express, Lord. Father, it's not hard for us to humble ourselves in your presence, for the more that we know you, the greater that you are in our sight, and the littler that we are, Lord. And we don't say that in some kind of a lack of confidence sort of a way, or with some like someone that would have a complex, but we say that truthfully. There's no flesh that will be exalted in your presence, Lord. There's no good flesh. There's flesh. And so, Lord, we submit ourselves, we humble ourselves before you, Lord, and we ask that you just take complete control of our members, Lord, and complete control of this local body, Lord, from the pulpit to the back door. And Father, may your will be done in our midst, we pray. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. 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 You may be seated. So I'd like to read a couple of statements from the message of the hour. If you don't mind, we'll read from the Ephesian Church Age, paragraph 236. The Bible said, "The ring cometh upon the earth off to prepare it, to dress it for which it is prepared for." And he's quoting from Hebrews chapter 6, of course. "But thorns and thistles, which is nigh unto rejection, whose end is to be burned." So Paul is talking about how there's going to be two different kinds of seeds. They're both going to be blessed by the sun and by the rain. They're both going to grow. But the end of one is to be burned. Of course, the other one is to be harvested. It's what Jesus told us in the parable that we've been reading. "The sun shines on the just and on the unjust." Aren't you glad? You know, if somebody finds any happiness at all in this life, I'm glad. Right? For some, that'll be all that they ever have, but who would wish anybody to be deprived? "The sun shines on the just and the unjust. The rain falls on the just and the unjust. The rain comes to make the wheat crop, we'll call it," he says. "And every weed that's in the field, if the wheat's thirsty, then the weed's thirsty." It's just, it's by design, right? "And the same rain that waters the wheat waters the weeds also." Right? It's not a different kind of rain, so we want to be careful what we say about the rain. The rain is, there's only one kind of rain, and it's God. Right? "The little old wheat will raise its head up and holler, 'Praise the Lord, hallelujah.'" That shouldn't upset us. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. "I'm so glad to get this rain." Well, give the Lord glory. "The little old weed will holler, 'Glory to God, praise God, hallelujah. I'm glad to get it.' Well, I'm glad you got it too. Hallelujah. Now come up a little higher. Come a little further. But by their fruits, you shall know them." That's right. By their fruits, you shall know them. And then again from the Message Fellowship, Brother Branham says, "We know that the rain falls on the righteous and the unrighteous. The same rain that waters the wheat waters the weeds." You know, if anybody's ever had a lawn, anybody's ever grown grass, weeds will come up, right? And you didn't plant those weeds, right? I can't imagine that you would. But when you water, if there's some weed seeds out there, they're going to come up, right? Now, you're not watering the lawn to water the weeds, but the weeds are in the same place that the grass is at. And so the weeds benefit from it, right? "But Father God, let us in our lifetime sow nothing but the genuine seed of God." Now he's talking about the word being sown in our lives and the word bringing forth fruit, right? If we plant the wrong kind of seed in this life, we're going to get a harvest from that too, right? And there are many people that will come to the Lord and maybe they're in prison or maybe they're under this circumstance or that circumstance and they think, "Well, I came to the Lord, I'm forgiven and God has forgotten everything and it's in the sea of forgetfulness and so my troubles are over." No, there's still another law that's in force, right? And it's the law of sowing and reaping, right? And so it is true that God has forgiven, but man doesn't forgive necessarily, right? And if you've broken the law and you're in prison, you say, "Well, God has forgiven me." I have no doubt that if you've confessed and you've accepted and so on, that God has forgiven you. And it is in the sea of his forgetfulness, but not in the jailer's sea of forgetfulness. It's still on the roll, right? And you're going to pay for that, right? Unless the Lord intervenes in one way or another by his perfect will, you're going to pay for that. So the solution is start planting good seed, right? so that you don't have a lawn that's just all crabgrass. But now you got some St. Augustine growing as well, right? Or whatever kind of grass. You've got some good grass that's growing. Amen? He says, therefore, when the Spirit comes and falls upon it, now listen closely, when the Spirit comes and falls upon it, may it bring forth a reproduction of Jesus Christ, being a son or daughter of Christ. I ask in Jesus' name, amen. What a prayer. Is that your prayer tonight? Now we know as we've been looking at this, we know that there will arise false Christs, there will arise false prophets according to the word. But the question that we were left with last time is, how will we be able to tell the difference between the true and the false? And is there a sure way to know? And so Brother Branham gives us some insight into this question as it pertains to the true anointed when he's praying this prayer. His prayer is that the baptism of the Spirit on the genuine seed in our day will bring forth a reproduction of Jesus Christ. Amen. Friends, there's no better proof. There's no greater manifestation. You said, yeah, but by their fruits. Well, the Word produces fruit. And we're not just talking about the fruits of the Spirit. You can have the fruits of the Spirit and still be false. Amen. We're talking about the fruits that the Word produces. Right? And when the Word is living and when it's quickened and it's living out from you, the fruit of that is the manifestation of what it is. Hallelujah. It's the very character and the very nature of Christ, which can't, the nature of Christ, his true character and true nature cannot be impersonated. May it bring forth the very same life lived out again, but in a many-membered body. So, in other words, the manifestation of the very same person of the Word in flesh, that is the vindication of a genuine seed of God, the genuine or the true anointed ones. That's the vindication when you see Christ being lived out. So recall that if there are false Christs or false anointed ones, that's only because there are true Christs. There are true anointed ones, right? Don't get nervous when we say true Christs or true Messiahs, right? That word means anointed. So recall, if there are false Christs, that's only because there are true ones. And friends, this is, excuse me, but this is much more than forgiveness of sin and confession of faith in Christ as our Savior, as many denominations teach. They teach that that's all there is, right? We're not minimizing that. That's essential. We're not minimizing it by any stretch of the imagination, but there's more. This is a transformation, and it starts on the inside by the quickening of a seed that's laying down within us, brought forth of the Word by the Spirit. And so what we are witnessing at the harvest time is the light and the life of the evening time striking that genuine seed and quickening it to bring forth a reproduction of Christ. Amen. In a many-membered body. Anything less than that, friends, will be at best a counterfeit of the real. And we say at best because, you know, we recognize that there will be many sincere people that will hold on to their confession of Christ as their personal Savior, and they will try to live a Christian life by works. And we're not speaking against that, right? They will try to do that. In fact, all of us start out in our walk that way as we're going through sanctification. We're being told, this is wrong, that is wrong. What are you going to do about it? Are you going to quit doing this or quit doing that? Are you going to start doing what you're supposed to do? We're being tutored, right? And once we've shown that, once it's been shown in our life that we are obedient to that word, well, now we're candidates for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now we're candidates to become temples of the Holy Ghost, right? So there will be those that don't go all the way to the new birth, but yet they're sincere and they're trying to the best of their ability to, and they even believe that it's completely up to them to be justified by their works, right? It's completely up to them, not realizing that there's another step that you can go to where you realize, I can't, but He can. And He promised, right? So we're not talking tonight about what people are trying to do in this hour, okay? What we're talking about is true anointed ones and false anointed ones. And there's no third category in this particular scripture. Of course, it goes without saying that there will be also false anointed ones that are not sincere, and they have other motives, and they're posing as the true seed that's anointed of God. So we recognize that you can be a true seed of God and anointed of a wrong spirit. Right? Peter was. And Jesus spoke to that spirit and said, get behind me. Right? You can be a wrong seed and anointed of the right spirit. You can be the wrong seed and anointed of a wrong spirit. Amen? And you can be the right seed anointed of the right spirit. So there's four combinations from those two statements there. So what we're looking for in our own lives is the reproduction of the life of Christ. Christ being lived out in us and through us, right? Where, and friends, that's where everything is for His honor. Everything is for His glory. Everything is for the purposes that were in God's thinking before the foundation of the world. Everything is that His will be done and not our will, right? In fact, our will is surrendered and submitted, and His will becomes our will. We ultimately desire the same things that God desires. So this isn't praying for the forgiveness of your sins and then being asked, well, do you feel better now? To which the answer is, yeah, I feel better now. And then continuing on to live the same kind of a life that you lived before, right? It will take true repentance, which declares, I don't want to live that same kind of a life before. I know that I was wrong. I know that I am wrong. I know that I was born wrong. I know that I'm a mess. I know that without God, I'm just a failure. I don't want to live that way anymore. Amen. So from your heart, you'll say instead, I want my heart turned from the darkness of sin and the darkness of the world and the desires of the flesh. I want my heart turned into the glorious light of the living Word. Hallelujah. So a confession of sin alone, notice I use that word alone, a confession of sin alone will not reproduce Christ in your life, though it certainly is necessary and it is a part of your conversion. So if confession of our sins alone results in the reproduction of Christ in our lives, well, then we need to go no further than the Catholics. Because they, you know, at least weekly, they're supposed to do a confession, right? And they're supposed to, and of course they pay for it, right? And then they're told, well, you're going to pay for it later, but if you pay now, you'll pay less later, right? But they're real big on confessing, right? And we believe in confessing. We believe that, but not to some, you don't need to confess to me, you need to confess to Him. Right? So it's a first step, and it's a wonderful step. It's tremendous. We're not making, please don't misunderstand us tonight and think that we're making light of that. No, it's necessary, but as they say in mathematics, this particular thing is necessary, but it's not sufficient. Right? It's the first step. It's wonderful, but don't stop there and say, I've arrived. I've reached the mark. For for Jesus Christ to be reproduced in our lives, it means that the life that's living in a son or daughter of God will be the very image of God. Well, let me put it another way. When people see you, they'll see the Father. So Brother Branham tells us, we referred to this last week, but now we're going to read it to you. Brother Branham tells us of a time that he was in meetings in Mishawaka, Indiana, right up there next to South Bend, which is close to Lake Michigan. And he saw the gifts of the Spirit in operation in some church meetings. And what caught his eye as he was driving by, it said Jesus only, and it was revival. And he was going on a fishing trip, right? And he sees this sign, and so it really gets his attention. And he sees, you know, all the people, and they're dressed nicely, and so he thinks, well, I'll just stop in and see about this, right? And of course, he was a Baptist at the time, and he says, I remember when I was first converted, and I began to see the working of the Spirit and how that some could just impersonate the real, genuine Holy Spirit in such a way that it was just impossible to tell which was right and which was wrong, hardly. Right? So close. And I seen a man, and by discernment, now he uses this word discernment, and he uses it broadly in a lot of different situations, and there is discernment in what he was using, but there was more than just discernment, right? He had a vision, the Lord showed him, right? We can discern, we can catch, well, that person doesn't have a right spirit, right? That doesn't mean that we have a vision about that person, right? So there's discernment and then there's discernment, right? So he says, and I seen the man, and by discernment, he says, I knew that man was living with another man's wife. Right? Well, with the gift of discernment in the body, you don't know that. You just know that there's something that isn't right in that person's life, right? But that other gift that was in his life, he was able to actually see, right? By vision, that this man's living with another man's wife. He says, I knew that man was living with another man's wife. And here he was standing there, speaking with tongues. Now, he'd never been in it. This is his first Pentecostal meeting, right? And he's thinking, man, I've arrived. This is heaven on earth, right? As so many of us, the first time that we ever experienced it, or maybe multiple times even after that, we thought, wow, I never knew about this. I didn't know this was happening in our day. And this is Bible days all over again, right? So he was thinking along those lines, no doubt. And he says, here he was standing there speaking with tongues and interpreting and everything and giving messages. So he's prophesying, speaking in tongues, bringing the interpretation. And then so that's a couple of gifts of the Spirit in operation, right? To speak in tongues is one gift. To bring the interpretation, that's prophecy, right? Tongues interpreted, that's the word. He says, I knew that man was living with another man's wife, and here he was standing there speaking with tongues, interpreting and everything, giving messages, and then I got the other fella to a place where I could speak to him for a few moments. So he would get with someone, and he would contact their spirit, right? Now, we, as Christians, we contact one another's spirit, and there is some kind of a connection, and we can pick up whether there was a right spirit or not, but the sight that the Lord gave this prophet was even greater than that. He could see into that dimension, right? And even if a spirit left somebody's body, he could go after that spirit and bring it back. He says, I got to where I could speak to him for a few moments, a real, genuine Christian. Now, friends, that's something that we experience, right? You meet somebody, maybe you don't speak the same language, maybe you don't eat the same kind of food, you don't dress the same, you're not from the same country, right? You're not the same race. And yet you get beside that person, you spend just a little bit of time and you realize, man, I got more in common with you than I do my own flesh and blood that I grew up with. He says, a real, genuine Christian. Well, you contact the Spirit of Christ. And I thought, how could that Spirit, that same Spirit, he says, that's when I first seen Pentecost. And it was at Mishawaka, Indiana. And I tell you, I thought for the first few hours that I was there that I was among angels. Anybody ever felt that way? He says, in the next few hours, I thought I was among demons. I won't ask you about that one. And I seen these two men, one give a message, one interpret. I'd never heard speaking in tongues and things like that before. And I watched those spirits. Now this is a real gift of discernment here. I watched those spirits, how they moved. And I thought, oh my, why the great millennium has begun. And then when I got a chance on the outside to talk to one of them and could tell what he was made from, there was one as evil as he could be. Now, the anointing, the Spirit, he talks about it in plural. I watched the spirits, but it was the same Spirit that moved on one as it did on the other. Just different seed. Oh, come on, friends. I watched them again. He says, that night I watched them again and I thought, oh, get me away from here. I can't understand how this is. I can remember experiencing that myself. I remember just being confused, right? And it wasn't the first time I was confused. It was just another manifestation of my confusion, right? I seen those things, he says, I had seen those things were in the Bible, but here was one doing it that didn't have the Spirit of God. And here's the other one doing it that did have the Spirit of God. So one of them is a genuine Christian, the other one isn't. Then I was all confused, but you can speak in the tongues of men and angels. And have not charity. Right. Have not the love of God. Right. And miss it.
Right.
You can understand all mysteries.
Yeah.
And miss it.
Right.
He says, I can't, get me away from here. I can't understand this. I've seen those things were in the Bible, but here was one doing it that didn't have the Spirit of God and the other one doing it that did have the Spirit of God. Then I was all confused and I just let the whole thing go. Skipping down, just for the sake of time, paragraph 17, he says, setting on a log up there. So afterwards, he's out and he's going to sleep in his vehicle. He's getting alone with the Lord. And he says, setting on a log up there, I was praying about something else and the Bible came open and I was reading over in the book of Hebrews, the 6th chapter. And I was reading there how that it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and made partakers of the Holy Spirit, seeing that they fall away, to renew themselves again unto repentance, for the rain come oft upon the earth to water it, to dress it, for which it is prepared. But that which is nigh unto rejection, thorns and thistles, which is nigh unto rejection, is to be burned. So he's getting, God is brought him to this particular scripture. Now he's going to give him a vision and he's going to see this scripture through vision, which is how the word comes to a prophet, right? He says, and the Holy Spirit kept speaking to me about that. What is that? And I'd read it over and over again and then a vision come. And I saw the world standing before me, turning. It was all disked up. So he's using farming terminology where, you know, they have this piece of machinery that they pull behind the tractor. And there are discs in it. I don't know what that's called, but my grandparents had that and on their farm, right? But it has these discs in it, and you run that, you drag that along through the field, and those discs will dig into the ground, and it'll break up the ground, and then there'll be places where the ground is higher. There's places where it's dug down. He said, so he looked and he saw the world all disced up that way, right? And like plowed, and it was ready to plant. And there went a man by in white. So he's dressed in white and he's sowing seed. That's the Son of Man. And after he went around the curvature of the earth, another man come in black, sowing seeds behind him. And when the seeds that the good man sowed come up, it was wheat. And the bad, the black man sowed the seeds, when that come up, and he was dressed in black, it come up, and it was a weed. And oh, one was contrary to the other. And a great drought come in the vision. And the little wheat just bowed its head. It was just so thirsty for a drink, and it's just humbling itself before the Lord, and it's crying out for rain, right? And the weed, get this, the weed bowed its head. Don't let that be your evidence of whether that's good seed or bad seed, right? And the weed bowed its head. It was thirsty for a drink. Well, of course, it's just nature. Then a great cloud come over, and the rains come down, and the little wheat raised up and began to scream. And began to nod its head. Began to say, I'm mature. No, it began to scream. Began to scream. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, how do you know it was the Lord? There's only one source of the rain, and that's Him. And that's what he was praying for. He says, it was so happy to get the water. Guarantee you, friends, if you're dying of thirst, you haven't had water for a while, and you run into some water, something in you is going to get stirred up. Something in you is going to get a little happy. I went on a hike here just, was it last Saturday? I went up, what's the name of that? Blackett's Ridge, right? Went up there. I thought I was 35 years old again, you know? We went up there, maybe it was one of the last times that we went up there. My daughter was carrying her second child on her back, right? Ari. And Sister Naomi, I think, went along, and my wife and I. And I knew that it was, you know, it's a little bit of a workout. It's pretty steep to get up there. And it's, you know, in 104 degrees, it's a little bit challenging on top of that, right? But I've been running in the heat for the last 6 months, but I've been running in the heat ever since the heat's coming up. And you do actually kind of get acclimated to that, to the heat. You still got to drink water. You still got to monitor your salt situation. You got to take water with you, right? And you still want to protect yourself from that direct sun and so on and so forth. But so I had done that, but I'd forgotten. I knew it was a little bit steep, but I'd forgotten just how steep, you know, where you get to the place when you're my age where you'll walk, you know, you'll count 10 steps, and then you'll count in your head 60 seconds, and then, yeah, right? It isn't, you're not going up there like a billy goat any longer. And then coming down, you know, a lot of people don't realize that if you're doing a steep climb, all they think about is the cardio effect, right? And how it, oh boy, it's just so hard on your heart and your breathing and all that. It can be equally, if not harder, coming down, even though your heart's not pounding, because now you're trying not to slide all the way down, right? And you're using different muscles to... Anyway, I digress. I went up and then took some pictures. And coming back down, I came... You know, there's a little fork at Sabino Canyon. There's a tram that'll take you up to Sabino Canyon. There's another one that'll take you into Bear Canyon. And at that stop, there's a bathroom there, and there's water. Well, when I got to that water, I still had a bottle of water but boy, did I want to drink it. I'd already drank three other bottles before then. I wanted to drink this other bottle, but I was holding it out because I knew I still had another mile or two to hike, right? When I didn't know that there was water at this particular bathroom, but when I got there, I almost shouted. And I think there must be a water container. Maybe it's higher up on the hill somewhere because there was a lot of pressure. You turn that valve and, man, it came out like a fire hose. I didn't care. I took a bath in that thing, right? I got a little happy. Is that okay? Oh, well, you were in the flesh. Well, could somebody raise your hand? If you're not in the flesh here tonight, could you please raise your hand? We'll be in the flesh until we're out of the flesh. Praise the Lord. It was so happy to get that water. Of course, my wife had to send me a note that she got from, you know, she's in California and she's monitoring things that are happening here in Tucson. Somebody died on the, a woman, 66 years old. How old am I? On the same trail. And somebody called it in. And, you know, my wife didn't say anything, but I got the message. I knew what she was trying to say, you know. And I told her, well, I could die here on the couch, honey. You know, I could die going to the mailbox. There's lots of ways I could die. And if I'm going out hiking like that and I'm not using any kind of wisdom, right. If I'm not from here, yeah, you shouldn't be out there.
Right.
Right? But it's ridiculous to say that that applies to everybody. Right. And that's the couch potatoes respond right away. Oh, they have no business to be in this heat and at that age. It's like, okay, so your roots are in a couch somewhere. And you got the AC on full blast. How did our forefathers make it out here without air conditioning? How did they live until, you know, 1950s without air conditioning? We used to have a sister. I'll get on with this in just a moment. But we used to have a sister that... attended our fellowship for the first couple of years when, back in 94, 95. Sister Granillo was her name. And she actually lived nearby where we were at. We'd pick her up and take her to church and take her back home. But she told us that she used to live up in, it's where my sister lives up there, and it's west, on the west side of Phoenix, a little suburb out there on the west side. It'll come to me tonight. I'll text it to all of you what the name was. But, that's when it was all fields. And she said they lived in a little one-room something right there on the farm and picked cotton, right? And she was... in her 80s, approaching her 90s at that time. Well, she did all right without air conditioning, right? What I'm trying to say is that you adapt, right, to your situation. Right. There's the other extreme, you know. When we went up there and it was 40-something below, well, why would you do that? And that's crazy, and why would anybody do it? Well, if you live there, what are you going to do, stay in your igloo all day? He says, it was so happy to get that water, and the little weed raised up began to holler, praise the Lord, for the same water. Then I understood. There it is. The Holy Spirit will fall, but by their fruits they are known. Said Jesus. Said the Lord Jesus. See, not by the reaction of the Spirit. Whether they were healed, whether they healed the sick, or whether they speak in tongues, or whether they sang in the Spirit, or whether they rejoice this way or that way, they can do all that and still be lost.
Right.
Now, he's not criticizing any of it. He's just saying that that's not proof of what kind of a seed it is.
Right.
It's your life within you.
Amen.
A born-again experience.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So he had wondered, how could the genuine, miraculous show forth in a man, and yet that man himself be false? How could a man live such a filthy life and the miraculous be in his ministry? And friends, we are standing at the same place tonight where, in many places, where holiness is being laid aside as too restrictive. And the world is creeping back in to fill that void. And yet the genuine anointing can be found on ministries that are moving away from righteous living and from the standards of holiness that's established by the Spirit himself. Men and women are coming under genuine anointing as it falls in meetings, and then they go out and live like the world. Excuses are made and the grace card is played over and over and over, right? But at the same time, the very life of Christ is being reproduced in vessels where the true seed of God resides. Hallelujah. And what a time of extremes, right? And what an extreme that is, the very life of Christ living out versus somebody that's trying to live the life of Christ. Friends, he's able to keep those that he has complete control over. Amen? And sons of God, daughters of God, they will act like their father. Not because they're imitating sons and daughters of God, but because they are born from above. They are sons and daughters of God. They are the offspring of God. They are new creatures. You know, that has gotten so watered down in our day that people, you know, it's like, well, in a way, sort of, theoretically, we're new creatures. No, you are a new creature. There's a different, how could you not be a new creature? There's a different kind of life that's living in you. They will despise the attributes of sin just as their father does. This flesh will disappoint you. You'll have to say, I'm sorry, a few more times. Amen. But the desire in the heart is not to live that way. They won't just claim to agree with the word, but the word will live in it. And the word will vindicate itself. So it's not something that they will attempt to do, but it's something that they, when they surrender completely to the living word, it's something that will control them, and it's something that will be lived out through them. Friends, it's literally the very thoughts of God that became word that are then becoming manifested in human flesh. It is his will being done in earth as it is in heaven. They'll no longer seek their own will, but they'll seek the will of the Father. And they will surrender to the Father's will. And it won't be easy at times. There'll be temptations at times, right? And when others see them, they'll see the image of the Father.
Right.
Well, I know that sounds blasphemous. I know that sounds crazy. I know that sounds like I drank the Kool-Aid and we're going off the deep end. But if you're a son of God, who? What are you? There's what we're trying to say, once again, is there's transforming power in this blood. Amen? You won't live the same kind of a life. There's power, friends, to take a dope addict and change him to reflect heaven on this fallen earth.
Amen.
Right? There's overcoming power in this blood. And that's what true Pentecost is. People think when we preach about Pentecost, all they think about is you know, the gifts of the Spirit, the signs and wonders, and people not living right, but just chasing after that, not putting the word in its proper place. No. True Pentecost, it's transforming power. The disciples didn't have that before the day of Pentecost. Peter denied the Lord 3 times. He did all kinds of things that were carnal. But when he was converted, he was told, strengthen your brethren. Well, he couldn't strengthen himself before he was converted. But now he's got something in him that's strengthening him, and now he can strengthen the brethren. There's power in this new birth. Friends, that's the greatest evidence that you'll ever run across, is a transformed life. You can't imitate that. Now, we've seen the impersonation of Christianity in the land, and we've seen the form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, right? But there is this deceptive version, throughout the land, of course. But if there is, there has to be true Christianity, right? There has to be true Christianity that's shining forth the light of the Word and that's showing forth His resurrection in this hour. It can't just all be negative. There has to be the positive. And I'll just toss this in here. Some of you are seeking that life. God bless you. You don't know how rare that is. You don't know how treasured that is. And I know the desperate feeling that's in your heart when you're trying to die out and desiring for the Lord to fulfill that in your life and for the faith to strike so that you can receive what God has for you, right? No, there's nothing wrong with you. God bless you. Amen. We're praying for you. We'll keep praying for you. A real gospel is being preached, and there is power in that real gospel to reproduce Jesus Christ in human flesh in this hour. That's what this message was sent to do. It wasn't sent so that you could just keep... Come on, friends. You ought to be ashamed if you're making excuse after excuse after excuse. I'm not saying you should be ashamed in the beginning when you're making those excuses. But if you're living a life that's filled with excuses and that's it, what kind of a life is that? You've come short of it. I don't care, friends. I'm not trying to hurt anybody. I'm not trying to offend. This is the truth. And you're not going to be able to blame me on the other side. Well, Brother Baker, you should have preached that harder. I was a little this or that or the other. You should have just been straight with me. Should have just hit me over the head with it. I'm hitting you over the head with it. Whatever you do with it, that's on you. I pray that you do the right thing. Realize there's transforming power to this. You're not conforming to something. You're being transformed. So we're talking about more tonight than great swelling words, great music. We appreciate that. Well-ordered families. We appreciate that. Good morals. We appreciate that. But we're talking about more than that. We're talking about God living in human flesh once again. In a many-membered body. Now, none of us will have the fullness, but if you've got a portion, if you've got a teaspoon of what's in that great sea, you've got whatever's in that great sea in a portion. We're talking about the continuation of the creation of the God race. Right? There's going to come a time when that creation is finished. The last one whose name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life will be manifested on the earth. The high priest will intercede on their behalf. Their name will be spoken, confessed. Amen. That seed within them will be quickened. That'll be the completion of the new race. It's still going on tonight, I trust. It's more than saying, you know, I felt the Spirit tonight. Well, what's wrong with that? Not a thing at all. That's wonderful. And we will have that, right? Nothing against that. But it's more than a feeling. And there are many, friends, many that go to church only for the feeling. And it's a wonderful feeling. And they feel better till Monday morning. Then they leave and they live the very same kind of life that they did when they came in. Why? Because nothing has changed. But this life of Christ is lived out. Amen. And we need to know His presence as we walk in the Spirit, of course. And we cherish that. And that's wonderful. And we need that. But we aren't looking to be the people of the anointing, but to be the genuine sons and daughters of God that are born of the seed incorruptible, the Word of God, and are anointed. People of not just the anointing, but people of the anointing and the life, when it anoints that incorruptible seed and brings it forth. So when Brother Branham told us, don't seek the gifts, but seek the giver. Friends, all of these things, Brother Branham was bringing for a point, and he was trying to bring a balance here or trying to bring a balance there. Some people take this and say, well, we should never seek the gifts. Well, then you're going to have to disobey what Paul said. He said, covet earnestly the gifts. He says, but yet I show you something greater. Right? Well, we're beyond that. Well, where does it say that? Where did your messenger say that? That's not the point that he was trying to make. Right? So when Brother Branham told us, don't seek the gifts, but seek the giver, this is what he's telling us to look for. And the great deception in our day is when gifted men and women live and work among us that are not converted. The genuine anointing of God on genuine gifts in their lives, but where's the life of Christ? Friends, the jihadists are not going to deceive the church. It has to be something closer than that, right? And the greatest deception is the one that's right next to the wheat, acts like wheat, rejoices under this very same anointing, cries out for it in the times of drought, praises the Lord when it falls, because the rain falls, as we've seen, on the just and the unjust in the very same field. There's going to be plenty of hypocrites. So those that preach so hard against this, and they actually look down their nose and they don't realize they have a Baptist spirit. I grew up with that kind of a spirit. I can discern that. Baptist spirit, they feel sorry for other people because they're right and you're wrong. And they're so intellectual, right? So that they always want to point out the hypocrites. Why is it that we don't avoid the supermarket because there's hypocrites? Right? Don't hypocrites shop? Don't they go to work? Do they get out in traffic? No, it's only in church that we want to point out the hypocrite. And we want to point them out. There are people that only want to point it out when it comes to the anointing. Right? Now, I won't argue for a moment. There may be plenty of hypocrites. But God has somebody somewhere that's real. And the rain is sent for them. So, hypocrisy lived out. That doesn't diminish the word one bit. Many will declare, Jesus said as we read last time, did not I cast out devils in your name? He won't argue with them. They did. Right? The wonderful thing about the seed is that it is what it is. And it doesn't need your help to be what it is. What's required is for that seed to be buried in the earth in the presence of the sun and for moisture to strike that seed. Simple, right? Nature will take care of the rest. That seed is the Word of God. And it must come forth and bring forth what is in it. That's why it was planted to begin with, right? So a true-born son or daughter of God, they don't have to try to be a son or daughter of God. In fact, the hardest thing that you'll ever do is to try to be one. Just get them in the presence of the Son, right? And let the living Word come across their path and let the baptism of the Spirit fall on them, and they will come forth in the day that they're living. And God is more than able, friends, to watch over His Word and bring it to pass in your life. What's laying down on the inside is the Word. That seed is the Word. Amen? And that Word will produce what it is. I remember, as I briefly alluded to, I remember planting the garden when I was about, I think I was around 13 or so, and I remember sweating over, I didn't know much about it. It's amazing how far away you can get from the farm. Seven generations of my kin were farmers. And I don't know how many were farmers before them, but I do know that seven generations or eight generations back that they were farmers. My dad was the first one to leave the farm when he was growing up. And so we're separated from the farm, and but you know, it was a way of life for my kin. So I really didn't know much about it at all when I wanted to plant a little garden, because and the reason why I wanted to do it, I mean, you know, to see life come forth from something that looks like a stone, that's truly something to behold, right? I mean, a seed, it doesn't move, it doesn't breathe, it doesn't look like what's in it, right? It doesn't look like it should produce anything. I mean, where do all those apples come from on an apple tree? From that seed. It's mysterious. And it's magnificent. It's a miracle. Every time you see a seed coming forth, and it's... You should say amen every time you see a seed sprout forth, because it's God's word, and He's watching over that word, and it will not fail. You will never, ever, ever get a pumpkin from an apple tree. Whatever that seed is, that's what it's going to bring. Friends, if God can watch over that, can He watch over us? Hallelujah. So I broke up the soil, and with my dad had a rototiller that he had purchased, and my dad, that's the dreaming side of the family. My dad would always dream about stuff, and he would get satisfaction out of just the dream and maybe coming right up to it. And I got the more practical part from my mother's side of the family. My true satisfaction comes from seeing a manifestation of something put to use, something, you know, an outcome from it, right? So so my dad bought the rototiller but never used it, and so I decided to I asked permission, of course, but could I till up a part of the backyard? And I didn't really know a whole lot, like I said. So I broke up the soil with my dad's rototiller so that the seed could then be planted and water could reach the seed, and I mixed in compost, not because I was brilliant and knew what I was doing, but I was told that's what you do, right? So I mixed compost in with the soil to enrich it so that the minerals and other things would be in the soil for that seed so it could retain water and so forth and drain water. I planted the seed in rows, and I tried to space the seeds so that they wouldn't crowd one another. And I tried to follow the directions on the package for each seed to the letter, and the directions were different depending on what kind of a seed it was, right? Some seeds needed to be planted deeper. Some seeds need to be planted closer to the surface. And the soil has to be, you know, patted down and compacted over the seed, but you don't want to pack it down too much, right? And you don't want to do too little either, so the birds come along and peck it, or the wind blows, or the water washes it away, right? So, and then there's the whole how much water do you give it thing, you know? And of course, if everything you were planting, like a field of corn, if you're planting a field of corn, well, corn needs, you could say, well, this amount of water for the whole field for, you know, for so many days or whatever. But when you're planting tomatoes and squash and lettuce and, you know, you're mixing it up. Well, they have different requirements, right? So I didn't realize how complicated I was making my first little garden. And then for each type of seed, the seeds would come in a little package, and on the front of the package would be a picture of what the plant would look like and maybe what the fruit would look like on the plant. And so I took that little packet and I stuck it on a stick and I put it in front of the row so I'd know what kind of seed was planted in that particular row, and because I wanted to know what it was when it would start to grow. And friends, once again, I'm still no farmer or gardener by any stretch of the imagination. But I like to see things grow. There's just something in me. I like to see things grow. And I like to nurture and care for things. And pastoring is like that in many ways, right? Sometimes you'll see a vine that's planted in a farmer's field. Sometimes a vine will... like a bean vine or grapevine or whatever, sometimes it could get wrapped around a post and start growing up along that post. Well, it shouldn't be wrapped around the post, right? So you have to carefully unwind it because it's not wrapped around the right thing, and then you have to carefully wind it back up around what it should be, right? So there's a lot of parallels there, I suppose. But some people are more of a natural gardener than others. Right? And I'll just tell you, I do have more discernment than some when it comes to that, right? Because I can tell when a plant needs water. My poor wife can't. And I have to tell her, honey, the gift of discernment is stirring in me. The plant's like... She's going to be so happy to see her plants when she comes back. She said, I've made a long list and whatever, but, no problem, but if you find the time, I've got these little rose cuttings that somebody gave me, and there's this little this. Could you give it a little water? She'll be surprised. I remember going to bed after planting my first garden and then waking up at some point wondering if I planted the seed right side up or upside down. Now, later after I was converted, I heard an evangelist speak on that very same thing, right? God will take care of that, right? You can plant it upside down, but if the sun comes by and you give it water, it's going to go where the sun's at, right? I remember having to cut the grass when we lived up north in the middle of the summer when you've got, a whole lot more daylight hours than you do nighttime hours. In the middle of the summer, you actually have to cut the grass twice a week. Once a week isn't enough. Right, because things are just growing. They're getting that sun and what have you. And I remember how the seed or how the grass would be real thick a lot of times along the edge of the sidewalk or driveway. And, there could have been seed perhaps, I guess, that was underneath the sidewalk or underneath the driveway, but it doesn't matter if the sun comes and the water comes, if that seed has to go sideways and then come up, it will. So we had anybody ever heard of an edger? Well, we didn't have an electric one. We had a mechanical one, and man, that was hard when those roots would get so thick, and I got my scrawny little, I'd say 98-pound weakling, but I was probably 60 pounds when I was doing that. Trying to run that thing along, they make it sound like, well, you just run it along the edge of the sidewalk and it'll just cut that stuff. Yeah, it was work. I usually ended up getting down there with clippers or pulling it out or whatever. But the whole point is that a lot of times it would be thicker right there on the edge because that seed, it didn't matter where it was planted or how far it had to go. Just give it the right, put it in the right atmosphere. Come on, friends. Put it in the right atmosphere, and it's going to come forth. I'm so glad of that. I never, ever would have started preaching if this message hadn't have broke on me, come across my path, because it seems, such a great burden. Well, what if I don't say it right? Or, what if this and what if that? But then the message comes, you know, it's good news. It comes across my path, and I'm hearing evidence of what the Word does. And that if it doesn't matter who you are, if you'll, God's not a respecter of persons, He's a respecter of His Word. But if it's preached in its purity, it'll produce. So there's no pressure on me as far as that goes. I don't feel a pressure. Oh, I got to produce this. I got to make that happen. No, the Word will make it happen. My job is to sow it. Hallelujah. Then to make sure that it gets the sun and the watering. So just get that seed into the right kind of a ground. Get it into a believing heart. A heart that the doubts have been, you know, you've been through there with the rototiller. The doubts have been grubbed out. And the seed will grow towards the sun, even if it means turning its world upside down. You know, I used to say that. I used to say, wow, this message came across my path. It turned my world upside down. I said that for maybe a year or two, and then the Lord corrected me. No, it turned my world right side up. My world had been upside down. Hallelujah. How many can say amen to that? Amen. So let the rain fall on that seed and keep that seed in the presence of the sun, and it will bring forth what is in it.
Right.
Period.
Amen.
We're not trying to produce a Lutheran. We're not trying to produce a Methodist, a Baptist, a this, a that, right? We're trying to provide the atmosphere so that the Word will come forth.
Right.
The Word will produce the Word. So I was surprised, actually, to find that the things that I did plant, they were actually coming up. But they were coming up with things that I didn't plant. And I wasn't sure which was which at first. And I'm so glad that I put those little, you know, packages on there. Because, you know, like I said, I'm not a farmer to begin with. And so this was my first experience seeing it go through the different stages. You know, this wasn't second grade where you take a little bean and wrap it in a paper towel and then put that paper, remember that? You put that paper towel in water and the water kind of wicks up into that paper towel and then the little lima bean starts growing roots or whatever. Or the avocado seed, anybody do that? Take an avocado, stick toothpicks in it, put it in a glass of water. A little while later you'll see some roots starting to form. You ever do that? Well, this wasn't that. So I wasn't sure which was which at first. But as the plants began to grow and as they began to mature, it became more and more apparent which was which, particularly since there was such a diversity. And some will look just like what you planted clear up until the harvest time. But at that time, their fruits will show what they are.
Right.
I remember trying another garden when I was older. I had kids and we were living in Lompoc, and I remember planting a lot of different kinds of squash and so forth. Well, there was some squash. There was what I thought was some squash coming up. I still don't know what it was, but it wasn't squash. But man, did it grow, and man, did it flower, and man, did it take over the garden. And man, did I not plant it. But I sure watered it. Those were some expensive weeds. So at the harvest time, their fruits will show what they are, right? So as we read last time, we're promised that at the harvest time, God will send forth His angels to bring a separation of the wheat from the tares.
Right.
Now, angels, these are not angelic beings, but these are ministering gifts.
Right.
And it's the Word that actually brings the separation, right? We're not trying to separate. Right? We're trying to bring people as far as they can, but the Word
right.
will separate.
Right.
And people will separate over the Word.
Right.
So since we're living in the harvest time, this subject deserves our attention, right? So part three is okay? Imagine the thousands of people, millions of people that have read this very same scripture, but they weren't living in this time. You are. So the same rain that blesses a righteous person can also bless a hypocrite. And people want to just, they want to just have a cow if a hypocrite gets happy. Well, I saw that guy and he did this, that, and the other. And then he went out and did this, that, and the other, lived like a devil, right? So that's why we never allow the Spirit to move in the church. I had my pastor tell me one time, Brother Doug, I'd let the Spirit move in the church, but I don't know how to control it. Well, you're not supposed to control it. It's supposed to control you. What you're saying is that you don't know the difference. That's concerning. Come on, friends. Why would we be afraid of the very thing that brings forth the life? Without the Holy Spirit, the seed can't be quickened. Don't be afraid of the rain. Well, but that guy is such a hypocrite. And look, he was so happy. What do you care? What do you care if a weed gets happy? And I'm not saying it's a weed. But if it was, who cares? The rain wasn't sent for the weed, it was sent for the wheat. So the same rain that blesses the righteous person can bless the hypocrite, but don't let that bother you one little bit. Who was the rain sent to? By their fruits you shall know them. Now, I don't know how you're going to get fruit without rain. A person can have genuine gifts of the Spirit and still not know God. I get that. And many mighty works can be done through a false anointed one. But the anointing is real. And Jesus will say to them, depart from me, you who work iniquity, for I knew you not. You are never a part of me. You were not birthed by my Spirit. You were not one of my eternal thoughts. Right? What does that have to do with you, though? So people are looking today for a Jesus that is so indulging to them that he just winks at their iniquity. You know, he's just a great big grandpa, right? Oh, he didn't mean it. I had a grandpa like that, and I was thankful for it. Sadly, he died when I was 6 years old. And in fact, I don't know why these things come to your mind, but I was just, maybe because my wife wasn't home, I'm thinking about other things. And I was remembering, my mom's parents were pretty fond of me. There were four of us, born 3.5 years between the oldest and the youngest, so pretty close together in age, and I was second to the last, and I wasn't the first boy, I wasn't the first girl, I wasn't the last boy. Well, I was the last boy. I guess that's my claim to fame. But my little sister, she was the baby, you know, she was always the baby, right? So my spot was... How many middle children are here? You know what I'm talking about. The rest of you, shut up. The middle child is the peacemaker. The middle child stands in the middle, right? But the middle child, they're not the first one. They're not the oldest. They're not this or that. They're not the baby. They're just the middle child, right? But, so I guess that's, I'm kind of preaching to myself right now. I guess that's why it meant so much to me that my mom's... Dad and Mom, they kind of, I was remembering last night when I asked them if I could sleep with them. You know, I was like probably 4 or 5. That was a big deal to me, right? It's still kind of a big deal to grandkids today, or even just children, right? And I was remembering that, and so that was like over 60 years ago, and I was remembering that and. But the other part of the story is that I would do things that I knew were wrong, right? Now, I wasn't robbing banks or pulling up to the saloon, but, you know, I would cut up a little bit and my grandfather would intercede for me, right? He would tell my mom, she'd come after me, and he'd tell my mom, Dina, he didn't mean it. Yeah, that's right, Grandpa, you know. Well, that's the modern Christ. That's what people are preaching. He didn't mean it. Yes, you did. We're going to give an answer for what we do. But today we want a modern Christ that's up to date with the times, right? We don't want a judgmental Christ, one that is set in his ways. We don't want a God of this Bible. We don't want the author of this word. We want an updated version, right? Really what people want is a genie in a bottle. They want a supernatural being that'll come out of the bottle when they're not having their way, and they want the genie to take orders. Grant me this, do that, and when you get done, get back in the bottle, right? And then when I get in trouble, I got to remember where that bottle was at. They say, well, don't be judgmental. But they don't realize how close we are to the final judgment. The rapture of the church. The Mount Zion showdown. That is the judgment of the church. The true elect of God, they're going to step into new bodies. They're going to go in a rapture. And they're preparing for that. The grain is going to be gathered into the garner. But the rest, as we've read that parable, the rest they're bound for the tribulation period where the foolish will be purged for their unbelief. So I say, now, Lord, change me. No excuses. Now. Right? If I don't see your word being produced in my life, I'm not going to get in the molly grubs over it. I'm not going to make excuses. I'm not going to quit. I'm going to cry out.
Amen.
And I'm going to say, Lord, make me that way.
Amen.
Be it unto me.
Amen.
You have to say that yourself. So those that are born of him, they do love him. And they will keep his word. But that's because he's in them to keep his word. And he judges all by the word. There's no one that won't be judged by the word. And he doesn't change his word for anybody. But what he does is he changes you to match his word.
Right.
You say, but here's my excuse. I can't do it. Okay. Finally, you admit it. But he can.
Right.
Are you going to let him?
Amen.
Help me out here tonight, friends. I'll pull over here in just a minute. He gives you a new nature, and he brings forth a new life by quickening that seed that's down on the inside of you to bring forth a son or daughter of God into his image and into his likeness. You know, let's don't conform to church. And if it isn't hard, then quit. Because it is hard. You're swimming upstream. Right? You are seeking things that the world is not seeking.
Right.
And you're being called a devil for swimming the wrong direction.
Right.
But it's the right direction.
Right.
Okay, from the Lamb and the Dove, he says, the Holy Spirit falls into a meeting, and sometimes the believer and the unbeliever worship by the same Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit proves what you are. Not the rejection of the Spirit, not to speak with tongues, not to shout. That goes with it too. That all goes with it, he says. But unless the fruit of the Spirit bears record with God's word, you're just an outward demonstration. And we today, we're relying so much on outward emotions and demonstrations. Now, he's not against that. And you'll hear him talk about that time and time again. But he's against you relying on that. And that alone as a vindication. Right? We today are relying so much on outer emotions and demonstrations when it takes a genuine, pure, born-again, Holy Ghost-led life to prove what you are. Now, that is right, my dear brother and sister. Unless there is fruit, and the fruit of the Spirit is not outward demonstrations. It is an inward work of grace and love and joy and peace and long-suffering and goodness and faithness, faith and meekness and gentleness and patience. There you are. Now, you don't hear that preached on too much by evangelists anymore, he says. It's been let run haphazard any way that it can go. But I'm just one of them old-fashioned types that believes in a good old-fashioned holiness. I believe. You say, well, that's a big word for a Baptist. He says, but I'm not one of them Baptists. But I'm one of them Baptists that got the Holy Ghost. Me too. That believes in real, genuine, born-again holiness. Me too. Certainly I believe the trees known by its fruits. Of course, we haven't let the standard down. We're not letting the standard down. Some people, when they hear that it's His grace and not your works, and they hear us preaching that, they think that we are saying that holiness is not part of it. Not saying that at all. I'm saying that the works will be there. The faith works is faith expressed. Right? But it isn't your works. It's what He's doing in you and through you. In fact, you didn't even have the right desires until He changed your desires. Questions and answers. He says, so He's speaking on this very same thing that we spoke on here in the beginning, where He had this vision, where He was reading from Hebrews chapter 6, trying to make sense of the hypocrite and the true seed and the rain falling on the just and the unjust, trying to figure out how the genuine Spirit of God could fall on a hypocrite, right? He says, the vision left me. Then I fell back on that again. The briars, which is nigh unto rejection. Then I got it. Jesus said, the rain falls on the just and the unjust. A man can sit in a meeting. He can speak with tongues. He can shout. He can act just like the rest of them with the genuine Holy Ghost and still not be in the kingdom of God. Now, some people will read this and say, well, we're against that then. We don't want speaking in tongues, and we don't want any of this, you know, because people that are not of the kingdom of God can do that. That's not what He's saying. Amen. We are not emphasizing, on the other hand, we are not saying seek the gifts, seek the giver. The word giver means one who gives gifts. Get the giver. Come on, friends. But don't be afraid of it. A man can sit in a meeting, can speak with tongues, shout, act just like the rest of them with the genuine Holy Ghost and still not be of the kingdom of God. That's exactly right. Didn't Jesus say many will stand in that day and say, Lord, have not I cast out devils in Your name? Have not I prophesied or preached in Your name? Have not I done many mighty works in Your name? Jesus said, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. That's knowing the right thing and not doing it. I never even knew you. How about that? He says. Here's exactly what it means here. See? So the question was on this scripture from Hebrews 6. You know, how can someone taste of the heavenly gifts and then fall away and then try to renew themselves? It's impossible for those that have once tasted of it to renew themselves, seeing that they bring the Lord, they crucify the Lord a second time, bring Him to an open shame. So asking about this, he says, here's exactly what it means here. See, they tasted the good rain from heaven. But to begin with, they were wrong. To begin with, their objectives wasn't right. Their motives wasn't right. You know, the harvest, he said, shall I go forth and pull all of them out? He said, let them grow together. And at that day, these thorns and thistles will be burned together. And the wheat will go into the garner. Now, how are you going to know which is a thorn, or which is a thistle, or which is wheat? By their fruit you shall know them. You see, brother, sister, a good tree cannot bring forth bad fruit. No matter, somewhere along the road, it's going to catch up with you. So you, in seeking the baptism of the Holy Ghost, ever who wrote that? So there was somebody that had asked this question, and they're seeking, right? And they're worried at this point, as many of us were when we read that. You know, well, how do I know that... How do I know I'm not going to just fall away? I have tasted of His goodness, but I've seen people go in and out. How do I know that isn't going to be me, right? Well, that's what the genuine baptism of the Holy Ghost settles for you. It's settled once and for all. You're not going from revival to revival. You're not in one day, out the next, up one day, down the next. You're either sealed unto the day of your redemption or you're not. And if you aren't, we're not beaten. He's not beating on you. I'm not beating on you. We're telling you that you can reach that place. Amen. It's not just special for somebody. He says, this person, if they're sitting in the congregation, a spirit can fall on that person, and yet you know that they're wrong and they don't live the right kind of a life. He says, be careful what you say about that spirit. It might be the Holy Spirit. Billy Paul tells us about Brother Branham coming into a meeting. He comes up onto the stage. Somebody begins to speak in tongues, and you know, there's an interpretation and what have you. And I think it was during when there was a prayer that was going on, right? And so Billy Paul had his head bowed. He said when he lifted his head up, he looked for his dad, and his dad was laying on the floor, right? Yet it was out of order, right? But it was the genuine Spirit of the Lord. Come on, friends. Even when the Lord showed him that Sister Shakarian was going to be taken off the scene, right? There was a prophecy that went forth. Oh, no, she's, you know, revived and whatever, right? And Billy Paul asked Brother Branham about that afterwards and said, well, I don't understand, you know. He said, the Lord's going to take her home. He says, I don't understand, but they said this. And Brother Brandon's answer is, well, so he wasn't criticizing that. Come on, friends. He said, all I know is here's what the Lord told me. That'd be a good way to live, right? I don't want to speak against the Spirit. I'm sure you don't either. That's God's business. Be careful about what you say about the Spirit. It might be the Holy Spirit. Don't judge the Spirit by the person. The person may be wrong, but the Spirit could be right. But now, does not the Bible say the rain falls on the just and the unjust? Did not Jesus say when the fields was planted, let them grow all together, the tares and the wheat together? Don't you try to pull up the tares. Don't you try to judge them. Just let them grow together. And at that day, the angels will be sent forth, and they will take all the tares and burn them, and the wheat will be gathered into the garner. But by their fruits we will know them. He says, you can know in your heart. Keep trying to deal with that person. So in your heart, you can know, okay, something hasn't come forth yet, right? Seed hasn't taken root, right? They're genuine anointing, perhaps, but the life doesn't match the word, right? So Brother Branham is telling us pretty much, you know, if you see somebody that's going the wrong way, don't condemn them to hell. But tell them, you know what, there's a greater life than the life that you're living. There's something greater than what you think you have. You don't have to live that kind of a life. Isn't that a wonderful message? I still rejoice in that. I still can't believe that God delivered me from a life of sin. Oh, what did you do? It doesn't matter. I didn't murder. I wasn't committing adultery. I didn't rob a bank, but I was a sinner. Hallelujah. So, I am pulling over. We read in Revelation chapter 18 that there's a call in the last days for her to come out from among them, right? Revelation chapter 18, verse 4. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people. Not come out and I'll make you my people. You are my people. But come out. I'm talking to you, my people. Come out of her. Come out of the church. The system. Right? The plant. Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. This is the harvest time. So that means that we're not all the same. Right? We're not trying to put anyone out. But we are in a personal walk with Him. And we've made up our minds that no matter what, we're going to walk with Him. If we have to walk alone, we'll walk with Him. If others want to join us in this wonderful walk, let them come. We welcome them. We say, come. Hallelujah. Come join us. We're not going to change our walk to bring you in. We're not going to shush what we're preaching to bring you in. We're not going to hide what we believe to bring you in. We're not going to take a vacation from God to bring you in so we can get on your turf. But you, if you want to come, come. We're coming out. If you want to come, come. Revelation 22, 17, and the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst, come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. We're not holding it back from anyone. Come. But if there's no desire in there, then you won't come. But if there is, come. We have the solution. We found the riches. We found the artesian well. We found that life. Come. There's plenty. But I'm not going to walk away. I'm not going to walk with the world. I'm in an Enoch walk with my Lord. Amen. I'm in a high calling by Him to show forth His character, to show forth His life, to show forth His thoughts in this dark hour. People want, friends, isn't that one of the biggest arguments that people are still having, but especially here in the end time? There's more religions now than there's ever been. And the argument is, who's right? Well, He's right. Well, how do we know which one's Him? He'll prove it. If He doesn't, how is He going to judge the world? He's going to judge the world by His Word, so His Word must become flesh. His Word must be lived out. There must be people that are sold out. There must be people that say, here am I, Lord, send me. There must be people that say, not my will, but Thy will be done. There must be people that say, Your Word is true, and every man's Word. Let every man's Word be a lie, but Your Word is true. Lord, I want You. I need You. I believe You. I'll take You at Your Word. Now do in me what You said that You're going to do. I surrender. I can't do this, but it'd be a real privilege, Lord, to surrender to You and let You do it. Use me, Lord, for Your honor, for Your glory. Friends, heaven is not for the sinner, but it's for the saved. I was once lost, but I am now found. I'm no longer a sinner. I'm saved. I have been changed. I have been reborn. I have been renewed. I'm a new creature. There's a wheat germ living in this cocklebur flesh. And this cocklebur will be sticky, clear up to the end. But one day, what's in this flesh will take on a new flesh. I'm not the man that I used to be. Amen. I have come forth in the image of my Father. And we are living in the time of His coming. How many believes that? Let's stand. We are living in the time of His coming. We are at the very door. The door of the rapture. Of the quickening of our bodies. Don't let this become common. Don't let, because it's so lukewarm, don't let that lukewarmness affect you. Resist it. Say, God, set me on fire. Set me on fire. Either make me a stone-cold hypocrite or set me on fire. But I'm not staying in this lukewarm condition. Hallelujah. That seed in our soul, friends, has been changed. It's been quickened, I should say. But we're awaiting the change of the garment. Amen. We're awaiting that. But there has to be a change here first. And if there's a change here, there'll be evidence of it. You can know that you know that you know. It's not cunningly devised fables. It's not, well, let me try this. I tried the Sabbatarians. I tried the Jehovah's Witness. I tried this. Let me try this. Right? It ain't trying nothing. It's saying, God, You're the true God. Amen. You're the creator of the universe, and this is Your word, and I believe it. Transform me. Change me. Mold me. you made me to begin with. Make me anew. Make me what you saw in the back of your mind. Make that. You saw me before. Now, make me a second time the way that you want me to be. I surrender, Lord. Hallelujah. So our goal, friends, is to see the very life of Jesus reproduced in our flesh before the change of our bodies. Amen. You know, there's more to, when Brother Branham made this statement, we'll know who made it before we go to the other side. There's more to that statement than we even realize. We think about that. Oh, well, okay, this person made it or that person made it. You'll know you made it. What will it do to you to one day see a loved one? Come on, friends. Live long enough, you're going to have some loved ones. It's just the cycle of life, right? You're going to have some that will pass over to the other side, right? Now you've got somebody to look for. Because they're going to have a new body before you do. Well, I'm just not the emotional type, you know. See grandma at 21. Never saw her at that age before, but saw pictures of her or whatever. But she walks into the room and she's in a supernatural body. In fact, she literally walked into the room. Walked through the wall. Right? What will that do to you? Well, Brother Baker, I'm just, you know, I'd say that's pretty good. You know? I'd say you get beside yourself. One of the first things that would come to your mind is, my change is here. I'm next. God, quicken that faith. Put it into action. Hallelujah. Right, Brother David? Amen. Put it into action. Right, Brother Tim? You believe that. You're waiting for it. Hallelujah. And you're a quiet man. But you're going to get beside yourself when you get beside yourself. I'm going to have the time of my life when the time of my life is over. I'm going to get beside myself when I get beside the King that day. Amen. What's the other? I'm going to let the glory roll when the roll is called in glory. I'm going to get beside myself when I get beside myself that day. I'm going to have the time of my life when the time of my life is over. I'm going to get away when I carry away. Amen. Separate me. Beside myself and beside the King that day. I'm gonna have the time of my life when the time of my life is over. I'm gonna get carried away when I get carried away. Amen. I'm gonna let the glory roll when the roll is called in glory. When I get beside the King. I'm gonna have the time of my life when the time of my life is over. I'm gonna get carried away. I get carried away. How many can say amen to that? Hallelujah. It's beginning to rain. If you're 30. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It's manifesting time. It's manifesting time, and the fruits are on the vine, and the love of God.